Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Tuesday afternoon edition of the Women's Weekly, a program dedicated to women. And I'm your host, Sister Mara, and delighted to be in your company up to 3 p.m. this afternoon. Well, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. We commence with an interview with Sister Anisa, who is from the Islamic Care Line, and Sister Anisa will be enlightening us more on a parenting program which the Islamic Care Line will be hosting in another 2 days. Thereafter, in the second segment, an interview with Umi Husna, who is part of a support group called For the Sake of Our... An interview with Umi Husna, who is part of a support group called For the Sake of Our Daughters, and that's concerning polygamy awareness programs. Well, coming up, this will be coming up in the second segment of the program. In the meantime, let's welcome Sister Anisa from the Islamic Care Line. Assalamu alaikum, Anisa. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam to you and all the listeners today. Jazakallah for having me on.
My pleasure always, Anisa. Now, the Islamic Care Line will be hosting a parenting program. Tell us more on this.
Okay, the parenting program is scheduled to take place on Thursday, the 26th of November, from 9 until 12:30, between 12 and 12:30, inshallah, at the Nana Memorial in Crosby. And we are pleased to be hosting a guest speaker, Canadian guest speaker. I don't know if any of the listeners have heard of him, the Dr. Muhammad Jira Bashir. And our infamous Idris Kamisa.
Mm-hmm. That sounds exciting indeed. Now, why is there a need for a parenting program?
Mara, we all, I think, are starting to realize that marital breakdown and family breakdown is becoming a very, very common problem.
Mm-hmm.
But that set aside also, if you look at all the social ailments and all the challenges that we're having to face, especially as Muslims, that come into conflict with our lifestyle and our upbringing and our values, like substance abuse, like inappropriate gender relationships, domestic violence, and all of that, right? I think parenting is one of the challenges that adults are having in terms of raising their children in a fast-paced world where technology, social media is taking over, and the institution of the family and the marriage, the importance and the status of it is quickly deteriorating. So parenting is becoming more challenged, let alone when we look at marital and family breakdown where people are forced to be single parents or co-parents separately and not in the same household.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. Now, in this parenting program, Anisa, what topics will be discussed?
Okay, like I said, the focus is obviously on parenting itself, right? But the focus will be on parenting specifically around an Islamic perspective, according to the Quran and Sunnah, also focusing on conflict between couples and the gap between parent and child. You know, things like generation gaps, the value conflicts, breakdown in communication, external influences and exposure, and how does parents deal with those. Mm-hmm. So that would be one part of it, where Dr. Bashir would be presenting and also answering some questions that that the audience might have. And then we'd also have someone from the Islamic Care Line who would present topics like, you know, also on parenting, but mm-hmm. focusing a little bit on self-awareness and communication, parenting styles, the challenges that parents face, some of the tools that you can use, and what essentially are the roles and responsibilities of parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, this program sounds very informative indeed, and I think, you know, we can all learn so much from there, you know, whether you're a young parent, an elder parent, but it's always something you can always learn from there. Now, being parents in today's times, Anisa, can be rather challenging. What type of support does the Islamic Care Line offer?
Okay, for many years now, the Islamic Care Line has found a need to provide therapeutic services for children.
Mm.
So that would include play therapy. With that also, and like I mentioned earlier, the breakdown in family structures and marriages. We've had more and more children need counseling and more parents bringing their children in. That's aside from, you know, the bullying that goes on at school, trauma with regards to crime and accidents and bereavement. So we see a lot of children here at the Islamic Care Line. We do play therapy, but also remembering that we can see children, but not in isolation. And there has to be some connection with the relationship with the parent. And so we've made it absolutely necessary for parents to come in for parent sessions. Mm. So what happens then, we have a more rounded intervention that includes the parents and the children. Then over and above that, we're working on developing an ongoing parenting program like workshops, like support groups, and topics that will help parents to deal with the challenges of parenting.
And also, Anissa, just remind us about this parenting program that will be taking place, and how do they actually go about to book for a parenting program of this nature with the Islamic Care Line?
Okay, the one that's scheduled on Thursday, the 26th, you can phone in at the Islamic Care Line at 011-373-8080. We would appreciate RSVPs. It's as easy as that. There is no cost involved, although we would highly appreciate any donations that participants might want to contribute to the running of the Islamic Care Line.
Is this the first parenting program with Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir and Idris Hamisa?
It is. Amara, in the past, we've started implementing about 3 years ago a play therapy event once a year, and that moved on to, especially this year, a holiday program for the kids during the holidays. Mm-hmm. We have presented brief parenting programs or presentations during that holiday program, but yes, this is the first time that we're hosting Dr. Bashir.
Alhamdulillah. And all the best to the Islamic Care, and all the best to you as well. And inshallah, I'm almost definite that this will definitely be a success, knowing you've got such well-known speakers, especially like Brother Idris Hamisa, and now you're also bringing in Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. All the best to the Care and all the best to you as well. And I'm sure it's on the community announcement of Radio Islam as well. But for those who want to contact the Islamic Care Line, you can contact them on 011-373-8080. And like you said, Anissa, it is you have to RSVP. When is the deadline, Anissa?
Amara, we were hoping that the deadline would be today, but we're continuing to getting calls, so we're not going to put a stop on that. So any time, even till Friday, even until tomorrow, if you want to still RSVP, you're more than welcome to do so. And I really urge parents out there to attend something like this. There's no parent who can say that, you know what, parenting is easy and it comes with a straightforward recipe kind of method. So, you know, it will definitely take this as an opportunity. And also, because Dr. Bashir is going to be open to certain questions, I think it's something that you can't pass up. So I would say it's almost a must.
Mm-hmm. And so, the venue, where's the venue?
It's at Nana Memorial in Crosby, Amara. Starting inshallah at 9 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come in a little bit early for registration.
Okay. And that's between 9 and 12.
That's between 9 and 12.
Jazakallah so much, Anissa. All the best to you.
Jazakallah,
Amin. Always a pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Sister Anissa from the Islamic Care Line, and the Islamic Care Line will be hosting a parenting program that will be taking place on this Thursday. The venue will be at the Nana Memorial Auditorium. It's Crosby between 9 and 12. And you can RSVP on 011-373-8080. And together with Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir and also renowned educationist and motivational speaker, Brother Idris Hamisa. So that's Parenting in Practice, hosted by the Islamic Care Line. Let's go for a short break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ummi Husna, and she is part of a group called For the Sake of Our Daughters, and it's concerning polygamy awareness programs. So up next. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. And have you heard of a group called For the Sake of Our Daughters? Well, it is part of a support group called Yes, and it's actually concerning polygamy awareness programs. And we welcome Umi Husna to the airways of Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum, Umi Husna. How are you this afternoon?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
Umi Husna, you are part of a group called For the Sake of Our Daughters. Tell us more on this group.
For the Sake of Our Daughters, a group of ladies, a few ladies, who has realized that polygamy is something that is happening in our society. And we know that polygamy is a taboo subject that is not really spoken about. With the result, the ladies who are in polygamous marriages don't have the outlet, or they don't have anyone to speak to or actually understands what they are going through. This group here, we go from town to town in Johannesburg, in Durban, and there's a group in Cape Town also in Shoma, and we speak about polygamy. We create an awareness regarding polygamy, and inshallah we hope to revive the sunnah after the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. Yes, indeed. Well, we don't really have much support groups like this, and you know, you actually mentioned the name of it, For the Sake of Our Daughters. Now, who came up with the name of it, you know, and how did it come about?
The name actually was from Amatullah. She's got a group on Facebook on regarding polygamy. And what happened was a few years ago, about 2 years ago, she decided that instead of just keeping polygamy the topic on Facebook, to actually go to different towns and take the topic out there and engage those sisters who are not able to access Facebook. Mm-hmm. And the name, For the Sake of Our Daughters, is so that we realize that polygamy is a very difficult subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult for women to accept. But if we, inshallah, prepare our daughters for this year, then inshallah, should they be faced with it in future, they would be more equipped and more ready and more easily for them to accept than we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And I know it's a very difficult subject, you know, a very difficult topic we're discussing here, but it's more about a support group. And my guest online is Umi Husna, and she is also one of the part of the support group called For the Sake of Our Daughters. And this is concerning polygamy awareness programs. Now, also Umi Husna, together with another sister, you also host polygamy awareness programs in, like you said, in Johannesburg and all other areas as well. Now, what topics do you actually cover when you actually host this type of programs?
We try to cover as many topics that are relevant to women. We've got 11 topics at the moment. That is the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, we do the definition of polygyny. That is polygyny, what it means, where it comes from, where it started, because mostly it is misunderstood that polygyny is something that is that Islam has brought about.
Mm-hmm.
But polygyny has actually been about since time began, since long before Islam, and it was only regulated by Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Before the advent of Islam, men used to get married to many, many wives.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited the amount of wives that a man can have to only four.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who else is a better example for us than the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, who all lived in a polygamous setting? They were all married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we study their lives, we find that it makes it a little bit more easier for us to understand. The third topic we do is the natural need for polygamy. We may feel that polygyny is not needed in our times, but one of the signs of Qiyamah is that women will outnumber men, and that becomes a natural need, where there will be women who will not be able to get married, because if there's not enough men, there will not be enough husbands to cover all the wives. That's a natural need. Then the misconceptions regarding polygyny, that is There are many, quite a lot of misconceptions regarding it, where people believe that when it comes to inheritance and when it comes to the children, and especially when it comes to the rights of a woman, etc. Then stigmas attached to first and subsequent wives. There are stigmas attached to both wives. The first wife, the stigmas attached to her is that she is not good enough, her husband does not love her enough, or that there is something wrong with her, and that is why he has to get married to a second wife. That is a stigma. That is, of course, not true. And subsequent wives are looked upon as being home wreckers and husband stealers, etc. And those are all stigmas that are not true. The sixth topic we do is nasiha, what to do when faced with polygyny. Because a lot of us, when this happens to us, we normally find ourselves in like a sea where we don't know what to do or which way to anchor. The seventh is self-empowerment. A person cannot go through polygamy, a person cannot survive polygyny, if a person is not empowered. And that empowerment only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in self-empowerment, we teach the women, or we help them find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one of the most important topics is children in polygyny. We forget that polygyny is not only between a man and a woman or two women, but there are also children involved. In this year, we mentioned what to do when the children, how to accept the subsequent wife, how she has to be towards the children at this time, that time. And the ninth and the last is our journey through polygyny. That is through accounts of sisters who have been through polygyny and how they have coped and managed it.
This sounds really interesting, very informative as well, you know, in fact, to help sisters out who are in this polygamous marriage as well. And, you know, and alhamdulillah, you're actually bringing in the Islamic part of it also. And like, you, what better example can you bring in of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well? And then you also touch on like misconceptions of polygamy, and also like the stigmas attached to the first and subsequent wives as well. And also, you know, giving some good nasiha and advice on what to do when faced with polygamy. Also self-empowerment, like you said, also children in that case also. And then different people will probably come and discuss the journeys of their polygamy. Now, you know, the support group named for the sake of our daughters, how many women are part of the support group, Umi Husna?
There are quite a few women. The Johannesburg team consists of five.
Okay.
Five ladies. And there's a Durban team. There's three upper at the moment that is hosting the polygamy programs over there. And the Cape Town team consists of five of us as well. And we are working on a program in Cape Town next year, inshallah.
Okay. And when did this support group actually start up?
This started about three years ago. 3 years ago it was discussed and it was on the papers. But only about 2.5 years ago, we started the program. And our first program was, alhamdulillah, arranged by a very, very, very astute upper. Was in Florida, and there was about 70 ladies that attended that program.
Alhamdulillah. And how is the program taken off so far? You know, what type of support did you receive from the sisters out there?
Well, as it is a volatile subject. It is something that that's not easily discussed. The programs continued, although attendance was a little bit low. It was very difficult to actually get the ladies to attend the program. Also, due to the stigmas attached to polygyny and first and subsequent wives.
Well, Mr. Stillman, we're going to go for a short break. When we come back, then perhaps you can just give us some advice on how to empower other sisters who are in a polygamous marriage. And we're going to be opening the lines also, and just perhaps taking anybody's questions or concerns or their advice And how do you support a woman who is in a polygamous marriage as well? Perhaps you want to come and give on air some good advice as well. And we're opening the lines now, 011-854-1548. You can also SMS or WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. And my guest online is Umi Husna, and she is part of a support group called For the Sake of Our Daughters. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. And online, we joined by Sister Umi Husna. And Umi Husna is part of a support group called For the Sake of Our Daughters. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back, Umi Husna.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen. Umi Husna, how do you empower other sisters who are in a polygamous marriage?
The best advice that we can give a sister who is in a polygamous marriage is the only advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Quran, which is seek help in Allah with patience and prayer. Mm-hmm. That is the best, Jane.
Mm-hmm. You're also a graduate of Madrasa Tarbiyatul Banat in Azadville, and you know, being part of the support group concerning polygamy awareness programs, and it must be quite challenging, you know, if a sister comes to you and, you know, seeks your advice, seeks your empowerment, you know. And do you actually go to the ulama for more advice?
Gee, we do. We consult ulama when it comes to masala and masayo.
Mm.
We do not give any masala. We consult the ulama, and they give us whatever, especially when it comes to time, etc., and rights of the wife, etc.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you have programs, awareness programs?
We're trying to have once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month, gee.
Have you noticed the role increases?
Unfortunately not. It has not been on the increasing, and we are hoping that inshallah that it would increase as time.
Mm-hmm. And I think maybe sisters out there, you know, don't want to talk about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel they can manage on their own. I won't say manage on their own, or maybe they feel shy, you know, they feel embarrassed, you know, to be in a marriage like that. But it's not supposed to be that, because like you already formed a support group, and this support group can help them deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Appa has actually touched on a point there where it is mostly embarrassment. A first wife feels embarrassed because she feels that there's something wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
The stigmas that are attached to first wives are that there's something wrong, and we always seem to think that. And when she comes to a program like this here, she feels that people will look down upon her, mm-hmm. not realizing that we are there to help and that we are there to help her cope. And the same with a subsequent wife. She also is shy to say that she is a subsequent wife, because the minute she mentions it, people change towards her.
Mm-hmm.
When she tells them, I am a second wife, and then people change towards her.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a sister comes to you, and you also touch on a topic of self-empowerment, you know. How do you empower them on this topic?
To empower is basically to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person is in this situation here, there is no one that can help you through it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is to connect, to re-establish that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because without it, it is very, very difficult. There's durood. We advise them to read a lot of durood and to read a lot of istighfar.
Mm-hmm.
And many sisters may think that being empowered is fighting against it.
Mm-hmm.
So tell the husband, look, I don't allow you to get married to another woman. And that is not empowering. That breaks a person down even further. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, and when we have the help of Allah, then it is much, much more easier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easier for you to accept it, and you feel empowered in that way.
Inshallah, mm-hmm. Ameen. And, you know, do the same sisters come over and over again to the programs? And, you know, since you actually started off the support group, how has it been? Take us to the success of it.
Alhamdulillah, it has been a success. in the home that it, we are still carrying on. We're still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same sisters every time because we go to different areas. We realize that if we should make an announcement and say that there's going to be believing programs at this certain place every time, that people will not be there. But because this is such a volatile topic, we take it to the people by going to different areas and trying to get the assistance of the ladies groups in those areas, like those who are working with Tanim and whatever. We get their support and with them, we try to work on the programs.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Umi Husna, please share some advice to our sisters who are in a polygamous marriage. You know, what happens if the sister comes to you and says, you know what, I just found out my husband remarried. You know, what advice would you give her? And she's beyond tears, she can't cope. You know, how would you support her?
The first thing that that we would tell a sister like that is obviously to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing we would tell her is to try to understand what polygyny is and why polygyny has been allowed in Islam. And it is very difficult for a woman who is an only wife to accept it. But when a person look at our sisters, if we look at, there is not one person who does not know at least one divorced or widowed lady. And most of us feel compassion for our sisters. And we hope and we wish that maybe a sister or a cousin or a friend can get a good wife, can get a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really know who is there. And the only man that we know better than any other man is your own husband. And we try to tell her that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of taqdeer. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, her taqdeer was with this man, she was written to be his wife.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also written that the other lady is taqdeer to be his wife as well. And it all comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will not test a person with something which they cannot handle. And not everybody is going to be tested with polygyny. But if you are tested with polygyny, then definitely you can handle it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you can handle it. That is why she's being tested with it.
Mm-hmm.
The best is really just to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best that we can say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. Some very good advice you're actually sharing with us, Umi Husna. And you also have a question and answer session as well. And, you know, do you find that the younger ladies come out to the support groups or the older ones?
There are ladies of different ages. Mostly would be from 30s up and the 20s as well. Then we've got the younger sisters, the ones who hasn't been married before, and those who single ladies and so on. The age group varies. It varies.
Mm-hmm. What did you say are the stigmas attached to the first and subsequent wives?
The stigmas attached to first wives are also the ones that unfortunately first wives believe themselves. That is why it is difficult for them to accept polygyny. The first wife, obviously, when a man comes to his wife and he tells her that, look, I have decided to get married to a second wife.
Mm.
The first question she is going to ask him is, what is wrong with me?
Mm. Mm.
And that is also the first question that society will ask. That's the first question neighbors will ask and family will ask, that, oh, there must have been something wrong with her. That is why he got married to a second wife. And also, she's under a magnifying glass, where everybody wants to look and see what is it that is wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
And for the subsequent wife, unfortunately, the stigmas are even more worse, because with a first wife, will get the sympathy of the community. A subsequent wife, unfortunately, will get the wrath of the community, where she will be viewed as a homewrecker. Why didn't she get married to a single man? Why did she have to get married to another woman's man? And that also is a really wrong notion mm-hmm. to think that he is another woman's man.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, so mm-hmm. unfortunately for the subsequent wives, it is much more difficult because they face the wrath of the community as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's not really the community that you, and I think we worry more about what people are going to say, you know, more than what our own feelings are.
Gee, we are definitely, but what people say also affects our feelings.
No, it does.
That is why it is very important to have a good support system when a person goes through bullying.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the support group, you know, like we spoke about the stigmas attached to first and subsequent wives, who would you find most in the support group, the first or the subsequent wife?
Mostly first wives, and the subsequent wives are a little bit more. It is as if they are accepting of the of what happens to them, so they feel that they feel that maybe they are deserving of it, which is very, very, very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So in the support group we have mostly we've got the first wives, because they have to deal with now sharing their husband with another woman,
mm-hmm.
and the subsequent wives, they have to deal with the anger and the wrath of the first wife, her family, his family, and everyone. That is the subsequent wife. So we do have those. And we also have ladies whose husbands are intending to get married to subsequent wives, but they do not have them yet. So they are also searching for that support in order to cope with it in case when their husbands do get married.
Mm-hmm. Umi Husna, you know, you also touched the topic of the wives of Rasulullah. If you had to give an example in your support group of one of the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which one would you actually give an example?
We actually touch on all the wives of mm-hmm. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but the wife that we do speak about quite often is Khadija radhiyallahu anha, and we would wonder, but why Khadija radhiyallahu anha? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get married to any other woman during her lifetime, and the reason why we touch that topic is because people, sisters, always come up with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get married to anyone during the lifetime of Rasulullah of Khadija radhiyallahu anha. So why does my husband have to get married now? Why can't he wait for me to die first and then get married to more wives? Like, that would be the example. But we bring up the life of Khadija radhiyallahu anha for the sacrifice that she has made for this team.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifice that she has made for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She has given her health, her wealth, everything. And during the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to the cave of Hira, he used to stay there for weeks and weeks and months, and we know that the Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan. But she was there supporting him, allowing him to go, taking food for him in her old age. So if we want to be like Khadija radhiyallahu anha, shouldn't we be like her in support of our husbands, the way she supported him with her being, with her life, with her health, with her wealth, with everything? And in this day and age where if a man wants to get married to a subsequent wife, it is frowned upon by society. And then to take the example of Khadija radhiyallahu anha by standing by him and accepting his wife and helping them to fulfill the sunnah, inshallah.
Sure.
And obviously Aisha radhiyallahu anha, because she was the youngest wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the wives has a lesson for us in their lives, in their being. And one thing that was common in all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one of them had this quality of generosity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, indeed, yes. Mm-hmm. Umi Husna, Jazakallah for a very inspiring, very informative program. I know a very volatile topic as well. It's the first time I'm doing a topic on this, but it's more of a support group. It's a challenge for me. Alhamdulillah, it went so well. And, you know, how can your sisters actually contact you? Do you have a contact number for the support group?
Gee, there is. They can actually add a matunum on WhatsApp if they've got WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can phone me on the number that I provided.
Okay.
there's a support group on WhatsApp because ladies are normally shy to actually go and face the public.
Yes, yes.
So if they need to speak to someone and they don't want to, you know, or they don't want the person to see them, then they can add her on WhatsApp and she'll add her to the support group that is on WhatsApp.
Okay.
That is called the Sisterhood.
Okay, and, the Sisterhood.
The support group has got first, second, subsequent, or more, isn't it?
Okay.
It's 072-914-9606.
9606. So this is a WhatsApp support group, and it's a very good idea, you know. And so it's 072-914-9606, and this is the Sisterhood. For those who want support.
Okay.
All right.
Just
Jazakallah so much, Ummi Husna. I really enjoyed this interview. Very inspiring indeed. Very informative as well. And Matala, make it easy for all out there. And Jazakallah for this lovely information you provided us with.
Jazakallah for granting us this opportunity to come on in and speak about for the sake of our daughters.
Ameen. My pleasure, Ummi Husna. Assalamu alaikum. Well, that was Ummi Husna, and she's part of a support group called For the Sake of Our Daughters, and it's concerning polygamy awareness programs. And you can, you know, if you're in this polygamous marriage, there is a support group on WhatsApp. It's called The Sisterhood. You need to actually get hold of Amatullah, and she will aid you on this group. It's 072-914-9606. Well, from me, Amara, inshallah, back with you on Thursday morning with the Household Express. And this shall be it for today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.